You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, you could be raising money for conservation programs in the state while you birdwatch this spring. We'll learn about the Great Wisconsin Birdathon, which runs until June 15th.
First, as the presidential primary campaigns draw closer to a conclusion, candidates are starting to look ahead to the general election in November. They're making the case that they have the best solutions for the problems facing America in the present and the best vision for the future.
But our next guest says many of our political leaders are ignoring the past and the valuable lessons that history could offer presidents and their top advisors. Jeremy Suri joins us now. He's Mack Brown Distinguished Chair for Leadership and Global Affairs and Professor of History and Public Affairs at the University of Texas, Austin. He's co-editor of the book, The Power of the Past, History and Statecraft. Jeremy, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Rob.
Well, in this book, you and your colleagues are making the case that policymakers should pay attention to the lessons of the past, which kind of implies to me that you think they're not, at least not enough. So how so?
Well, our policymakers, because of the pressures of time, Rob, and because of the pressures of the commitments they make when they're out giving speeches, they often find themselves doing things that are more a reaction to what was done yesterday rather than a deeper understanding of the issues. The clearest way to put it is that we're often fighting the last war or trying to undo the fighting of the last war, not thinking about the broader lessons we could learn if we looked beyond simply what we did yesterday, but to a broader past.
So how are you hoping politicians can, if I can use a bad verb, operationalize this? How can they learn enough history and learn lessons from history that are going to help them, you know, in their decisions today and tomorrow?
Well, we make a number of suggestions in our book, and our book is addressed to exactly that issue. We want to begin by recognizing, of course, that most policymakers, like most citizens, don't have time to do the kind of historical research that those of us who are scholars are fortunate enough to be able to do. We're very fortunate to have the time that most people don't have for that. There are three things that I think busy policymakers and citizens can do to be more historically informed. The first is when there's a topic that is a crucial topic for their policymaking or for their lives. It could be the war in Iraq, it could be health care, whatever it is. It's important to find multiple people or authors who have thought about this issue in historical terms and come at it from different points of view. Too often we simply read the history that reaffirms what we already believe, and there are multiple points of view. So seeking out books and authors and experts who see the issue from multiple points of view for conversation and for advice is one thing we can do. Second, we can bring a critical eye to some of the things people tell us time and again that don't actually prove to be true. We're told time and again, for example, that the United States has been a society of small government. But if you look around you, that's obviously not true. Or we've told time and again that the United States has spread democracy to the wider world. You look around and it doesn't seem to be fully true. It's not that those statements are wrong. It's that they're oversimplifications, and we need to be attentive to those oversimplifications and ask critical questions about them when we're electing candidates and thinking about those issues. And the third and final thing that we can do is try not simply to see the past in the same blinded ideological terms we see the present, to move beyond thinking Democrat or Republican, and really look for more complexity. Understand that the world is not divided between left and right or big and small, but in far more complex ways. And we talk in the book about trying to be attentive to complexity.
It seems sometimes we look at our modern day institutions, our modern day borders and maps of the world, and assume that the way it is now, it just sort of naturally happened, instead of seeing it as the product of decisions made by individuals, by leaders, by nations in the past. Do we need to complexify, make our world a little more complicated now than we currently understand it?
Absolutely. And you give a great example, Rob, that we talk a lot about in the book. One of the things that's really important is to recognize that things that look natural usually aren't. They're the result of decisions that were made in a particular time period for a particular purpose, and that purpose might no longer be served by these things that we're not questioning because we've inherited them. And national boundaries are a great example of this. Let's take the Middle East. Most of the boundaries in the Middle East were drawn in the early 20th century or the mid-20th century. 20th century, and they were designed for political and economic purposes at the time, but they don't match up with the lives of people in the region, and they don't match up, quite frankly, with the needs of people in the region. So we need to be open to not simply defending those borders as if they are somehow natural, God-given, but actually thinking about what would be a more appropriate set of borders. That's how, in the book, we argue history can open space for new imaginings, for new creativity, for new opportunities, not imprisoning us in the past.
Talking to Jeremy Suri, professor of history at the University of Texas Austin, co-editor of the book The Power of the Past, History and Statecraft, saying today's American and other political leaders should be learning from history. But Jeremy, I wanted to ask, in a lot of cases, the question is, what history? I think of Germany after World War I. Some people took the lesson of that disaster. We were too militaristic. We started this war. Right. We're facing the consequences. Some said we weren't militaristic enough. We needed to win the war faster and to stifle internal opposition to that war.
Yes.
They won. And the World War II was another disaster as a result. How do we know what lessons to draw?
Well, so this is a crucial point, Rob. There are many histories. There are facts, but there are many interpretations of the facts. And there is no history without interpretation. And good citizens and good policymakers are open to multiple interpretations, and they consider those interpretations seriously, and then they make a choice. And so we're not pretending that history will offer a magic bullet to provide for agreement, but it can inform our debate and it can inform our perspectives. The problem we face today is not that people are thinking about one interpretation or another. It's that they're not interpreting at all. They're simply accepting a simplistic view of the past to inform the present. We would be better off debating these multiple interpretations, thinking them through, and then making policy. That would be more effective. It would give our policy a much deeper understanding of the different points of view that different groups have on a particular issue.
In the book, you write about Henry Kissinger as an example of a statesman who paid attention to history. Now, a lot of people would not agree with a lot of the decisions he ended up making. Why do you see him as a noteworthy example?
Well, and as I say in the chapter there, it's not because his policies were always good policies, and sometimes they were not. But what allowed him to influence policy, what allowed him to change the environment he was operating in, what allowed him to be an effective leader, even if one doesn't always agree with what he did, is that he was able to leverage policy to his purposes. He looked out at the world and he saw where there were historical openings, where there were trajectories of historical change that he could utilize for the goals he wanted. He recognized the changes in China and how that could open up a new relationship for the United States that had not had relations with China for so long. He recognized the changes in Egypt and Israel and saw a new historical opening for agreement between them. So this doesn't mean he always made the right choices, but it means that he saw the opportunities that others did not see because he had a historical understanding of what was in front of him.
As you look at the current presidential race, the remaining candidates, Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, are you thinking what kind of lessons they could be learning from history? And what do you think, either as a group or as individuals, what would you want them to be thinking about?
I would want them to be thinking, and I hope they are thinking, about other periods when the United States has come out of economic difficulty with slow growth and with a world of multiple challenges, none of which are overriding existential challenges in the way the Soviet Union was before, but many of which challenge things that we care a lot about. A fragmented world with slow growth. This would be similar to the period after World War I. It would be similar to some of the periods in the late 19th century as well. And what have we learned about effective decision-making in those periods? I think one thing they better recognize historically is that as powerful as the United States is, in these kinds of moments, our power is actually quite limited, and that we have to work with other societies. And one of the historical lessons I hope they look to is the need to be multilateral, the need to find friends, and the need to pursue diplomatic compromise in spite of our being so powerful and so wealthy.
That's what you hope they're paying attention to. Do you think that our presidential candidates and other key political leaders are thinking along those lines?
Well, I think there's some people around Hillary Clinton who are doing that. I don't see any evidence of there being anyone around Donald Trump thinking in those terms, but I don't know. I don't have any direct connection to Donald Trump, nor do I want to have any direct connection to him. So I don't know, but I think there are some people around Hillary Clinton who are thinking and discussing these issues. Whether she is listening to them or not, I don't know, but an effective candidate, an effective leader will have to address these issues one way or another.
Jeremy, thanks as always for joining us.
Thank you for having me on, Rob.
That's historian Jeremy Suri from the University of Texas, Austin. He's co-editor of the recent book, The Power of the Past, History and Statecraft.